Welcome to another edition of the Exponential Podcast. I'm Todd Wilson, Director of Exponential. We're thrilled you're taking advantage of this free resource that was recorded at the Exponential Conference. It's part of a library of hundreds of hours of free training. In our mission to equip church planning leaders, we seek to distribute as many free resources as possible. Visit exponential.org to learn more and to check out the programming for the upcoming Exponential Conference.
My name is John, and I'm just like you guys. I'm one of you. You're my people. I'm a worship pastor. I've been doing this for actually almost 20 years now. It blows my mind. I just turned 40 last week, or a couple weeks ago now, and means I'm really mature. So I'm actually, so you need to listen to everything I say, guys. Hey, come in. I'm John. I'm actually worship pastor at Saddleback Church, which is just down the road from here at Mariners. And prior to that, I was on the East Coast in a state that I found that most people in California can't identify on the map. It's the state of New Hampshire. Yeah. You've heard of it, yeah. It is in the Union, you should know. So I was there for 14 years, and actually it was my first ministry. I was there for 14 years, went to Bible college, and then went directly there. And it was like a dream. You know, I got to be a part of a church in a part of the country that needs prevailing churches, and got to really learn a lot of leadership and pastoral leadership, organizational leadership, make a whole lot of mistakes, but also find God moving in really great ways. And got to be a part of a church that grew out there in the Northeast. If your church is like 300 people, that's killer, right? And our church, when I started, was 100 people. And when we left about 5 years ago, it was 2,500 people. And so we got to really see the hand of God do something really special. And I was talking to my friend from Oregon, very similar things in the Northeast and the Northwest in terms of church culture. And so it was just a real special time of leadership and ministry out there. Originally, I'm from the Midwest, from Chicago. My wife's from Kansas City. We did, like I said, 14 years in New Hampshire, and now we're here in Southern California. So I say we paid our dues. I grew up in Chicago, did New Hampshire for 14 years, so it's like, we got to just ride it out here in California. So just really quick, how many of you, are you all worship leaders, worship pastors, worship directors? You're saying no. What's your role season?
Right now I'm interning, and so I am a little bit of everything, but I'm very involved in this. We just launched a new multi-site on Sunday.
Awesome.
And I'm on the creative team, so like really branching.
So great. So creative as it relates to the multi-site.
And on the worship team.
Awesome. So very cool. But the rest of you, most of you, worship leaders, worship directors, worship pastors, for the most part, it looks like. How many of you would say are you multi-site or becoming multi-site this year? Okay. Many, about half of us. So Saddleback Church, you guys, have you heard of Saddleback Church? Our pastor is Pastor Rick Warren. Wrote a book or two, and that you guys might know, Purpose-Driven Church and then Purpose-Driven Life. And then we have, I think it's 14 campuses. 10 of them are here in Southern California, and 4 of them are international. So Berlin, Buenos Aires, Manila, and Hong Kong. And the other 10 are right here, like Irvine, a couple in Irvine, Huntington Beach, San Juan Capistrano, Lake Forest, and just Corona, different places here in Southern California. So, youth ministry was challenging. We have 14 campuses. In my role, I'm the global worship pastor, which means I look after and give pastoral and organizational leadership to all of our weekend contributors. So worship leaders, worship pastors, contracted worship leaders, musicians, vocalists, audio, video, lighting, all of that. And so, as you know, artists are the easiest people in the world to lead. So it's the easiest job in the world. Just kidding. We're a mess. We're a complete disaster at any given moment, and it's the most beautiful thing ever to try to give some love and some structure around what it means to be one church in many locations. So that's a little bit about me. I'm married for 16 years. We have 2 boys, a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old, and they're actually worship leaders as well. Saddleback, our 4th, 5th, and 6th graders will lead worship for 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, and the 7th and 8th graders lead worship for 7th and 8th graders. So my youngest is in the Edge, leading worship for 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, and my oldest plays violin and sings for junior high ministry. So that's a little bit about me. I was thinking just through a lot about maybe what would be helpful to you guys, and so I handed something out that we're going to kind of talk through. But anywhere along the way, you need to hand out, I think there's
got some extras right here.
Got some extras, great. And then We'll talk about that, but stop me at any time. Let's make this interactive and however we I can serve you. I brought Socrates with me. Socrates is one of our worship leaders at Saddleback. I brought him because his name is Socrates. sounds really smart. he's seriously one amazing worship leader and just a vital contributor to our team. So we'd love to, we'll stick around however we can serve you guys afterwards too. But I'd love to pray and invite Jesus to be here, and then we'll just talk. Jesus, thank you for what you're doing here at Exponential. We're super grateful for the team here that does this year after year and creates space for us to become all that you wanted us to be and to speak to us and to challenge us. We're just really grateful for this space. I'm grateful for these people who really make my heart beat fast, who just really resonate in me and believe in what you could do in the church through artists and through moments. So we love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so what I was going to tell you guys is a few years ago, so 3 years ago, I'm like minding my own business, and I had moved to Saddleback Church from the East Coast, and I was actually serving for a year on our global team. I was working with our missions, our global outreach. Kind of feeling like maybe the Lord was shifting my calling, because for 14 years I had been a worship pastor, and I thought maybe the Lord was shifting my calling. He brought me to California. But there was something really unsettled in me during that year. And in that, towards the end of that, Pastor Rick Warren called me and just invited me and my wife to give new leadership to the worship ministries at Saddleback Church. Now, prior to me, there was a leader who had done it for 24 years, who was truly epic, like just a great leader, wrote a new story for what worship and church could be like, and just really left a really strong and mighty legacy. So you can imagine, being the guy to replace a 24-year guy is not awesome, to take the leadership reins from someone as epic as that. But my wife and I really discerned that God was saying, yeah, it's time to do that. And, you know, some of you guys are in really challenging situations. You might be serving under a senior pastor who doesn't totally get what you're trying to do in terms of creative worship culture, or your church is brand new and you're struggling week to week to just get a full roster, or whatever the challenges are. Well, I just come to you as one of your own, because we've had challenges, leadership challenges, just like you guys. But what's good for me is to be in a room with you guys, because, like I said, you're my kind of people. I think you're a bit crazy, just like I am, because you stay up late at night, you get up early morning, picking out the right songs, making sure cables that never work somehow work on Sunday morning, and you deal with people canceling at the last minute and trying to reschedule them, and you're just my kind of people. Oh, this is my wife, Stephanie, so hey. Steph is actually producing the whole worship service stuff in the band room over there, so she's back there on comms, so we'll see her back there. So you're my kind of people, like I said, because I think you're absolutely insane, just like I am. But I also think you're my kind of people because I think you really believe in the power of the local church. Because I think you actually still believe that God does some of his best work through the local church. That it's still his plan A and primary distribution for hope and healing and redemption, and chains of addiction get broken and relationships get restored and all of that type of stuff. And you actually believe, like me, that it's in these moments where we connect with the Spirit and with God the Father, whether it's through songs or through spoken words or through silence, that it's in those moments where walls really come down. And so, gosh, I just love you. And I'm here kind of crazy, too. So, what I wanted to do is tell you about a bit of our journey over the last 3 years in leading this really vast ministry with a lot of different teams. Because I'm not sure exactly how helpful it would be to just tell you how we do things at Saddleback, because it's kind of bizarre. I mean, we have international campuses, big campuses, it's kind of bizarre. But what I thought I could share with you are the things that I think we've always done, whether our church was 150 people in New Hampshire, or it's our church of 800 in Hong Kong, or if it's a church of 20,000 in Lake Forest, California. Do you know what I mean? Things that are transferable and really base level for no matter what it is you do. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So when we were starting with this new leadership, with this new season of leadership in the worship ministry at Saddleback, we had like 5 minutes to get our act together because it was a very quick transition. And I just remember searching scripture and prayer and my wife and I crying and talking and everything, trying to sort out, okay, some direction. And we looked at a handful of scripture and thought, okay, Lord, we just need a new direction. We need you to show up in scripture. And I looked at Psalm 40, which has always been a real driving narrative around my worship ministry for the last several years, a couple decades now. That's the one you guys know that says, you know, I waited for the Lord, he heard my cry. He pulled me up out of the muck and the mire and set my feet on a rock, right? So I will sing a new song. He put a new song in my mouth, the song of praise to my God. I thought, well, maybe that's our guiding scripture. This whole idea that we're going to sing a new song in this new season. And our song would show up in the form of healthier teams, some new structure, some alignment around 14 campus on that. But something about it just didn't feel quite right. So then I looked over in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 14. Now, Saddleback, you guys know, the weekends are really dedicated for us at Saddleback to its people who are not yet a Christian. We're very interested in desiring to serve non-Christians. Okay, you guys know that about that, right? Like, back in the day, 35 years ago when we started, Rick and Kay Warren kind of began that alongside Bill and Lynn Hybels out of Willow Creek. And so this whole idea of being sensitive to the needs of the non-believer on the weekend, that's really fundamental to us at church, and it still is. So in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul's writing to a church, right? A church just like Saddleback, or a church just like your church. And he's giving them all sorts of instructions on how to conduct yourselves in worship when non-believers are present. I thought, wow, that's pretty rad that God actually speaks to Paul, to us, and exactly what it is we're doing. So that was cool. But then you guys know what comes right before 1 Corinthians 14, right? 1 Corinthians 13, which is all about love, right? Patient, kind, right? Resounding gong, clanging cymbal, and all that. So you got 1 Corinthians 13 all about love. 1 Corinthians 14 all about how to conduct yourselves in worship when non-believers are present. And there's a bridge verse tying those two together. And it's 1 Corinthians 14:1. And I think I wrote this at the top of your sheet. It's quite simple. It just says, let love be your highest goal. 1 Corinthians 14:1. And something in my spirit knew that that had to be the foundation of our ministry in this season. That we were not going to make new music our highest goal. We were not going to make new systems and structure our highest goal. You know, Paul doesn't say there, let great music be your highest goal, right? Let complete rosters on Planning Center be your highest goal, right? He doesn't even say, let smooth transitions be your highest goal, right? He says, let love be your highest goal. And so we literally wrote that on everything. We wrote it on every notebook. We put it on the screensavers. We wrote it on our walls and said, you know what? We will be known as a team who knows how to love God and love each other, period. And if we can get that, Lord, if you would be so generous, Jesus, to help us get that, we believe that out of that soil will grow new songs, and out of that soil will grow healthy teams, and out of that soil will be great lighting and stage designs. And do you guys follow me on that? We have this opportunity, and maybe some of you can get this, we tend to want the product, but we don't want to do the work to lay the foundation, right? And I'm here to tell you, when I started this, I had very few gray hairs. It has not been easy to say, we will fight to let love be our highest goal. But I stand in front of you 3 years later and tell you, I believe it's probably the best thing we ever did. To resist the urge to just focus on outputs in the beginning, but to really lay a healthy soil. Now, you guys might be standing there going, oh, crap, we haven't done that. We need to just kind of, well, great, it's never too late. It's never too late to lay a foundation of love. Because we still believe and we still sing songs about the God who restores and heals and redeems and is still in the business of redemption. We've given our lives to it. So I would just say to you, if you're a team that focuses on, you know, if all you're ever talking about is new songs or great band stuff or great lighting or whatever, then that's great, but that's what you will be. We want to be a team at Saddleback that has a super healthy foundation, so we're always pouring into the foundation of one another. It shows up in every prayer circle. we talk far more about our character than we do talk about the new music. Okay? Because I think if we talk about the character, if we fix our eyes on Jesus, man, you can't shut us up. Right? You can't keep the new songs from coming. You can't keep all that stuff out of us because we're so deeply committed to Him. And that's, I'm really excited to say, you know, we're in a process of, we're going to be recording a live album in January of all original music that the Lord's giving to us and that is coming onto our weekend platform and stuff like that. So it's a really exciting season. But man, was it a challenge, and man, was it a journey. And so in that, Saddleback, you may or may not know, is super keen on acrostics, which means it's like not really biblical if it doesn't rhyme or start with the same letter. So, in true Saddleback form, I made an acrostic for you. So that was on your sheet. If I was really truly Saddleback, I would have made them fill in the blanks, so you would have had to fill them in. Sorry, I'm another 3 years in. But I wrote down these things, that these have been fundamental values to us in our worship team over the last 3 years. So are you guys cool? Are you tracking with me? Let's just kind of walk through these, and maybe this is where it gets a bit practical for you guys, okay? So we talked about all this love, which sounds really great, right? Yeah, we all want love. Well, what does that look like? Well, I think love you can actually touch, feel, and smell, and hear, and see it. And this is kind of the way we flesh that love out, okay? Because the reality is, yes, I'm super proud of where we've come from, but boy, we sure miss it a lot more than I'm proud to say. We don't hit it out of the park. But I'm so grateful that we are graced to try again the next day. Grace upon grace upon grace to keep trying. And that we put it on the wall, like I said, that we're going to move that direction. So this, for us, is what a team that is rooted in love looks like. So we talk about the W being, we're going to be a team that welcomes new team members. Okay, well, sure, we all welcome new team members. Well, we found out in some of our systems, we all said we welcome new team members, but we didn't really. Because we didn't have audition processes. We didn't have a way for someone to really, what I would say, get on the on-ramp to serve. So yeah, sure, anyone's welcome. But you gotta be really great, you gotta be up here, and we do auditions once every 3 years, and you know what I mean? So we felt like if we really wanted to love our community and love our church, we had to figure out what it means to welcome new team members. So I wrote there for you, we'll have a clear onboarding and training processes in every area of our ministry, not just singers and instrumentalists. How can we help new people access the soundboard, new people access the lighting board, the stage manager position, the producer, the whatever your roles are? How do you actually get new people to serve there? Each week we'll see volunteers serving alongside Saddleback staff. And then we said volunteers will not simply be tolerated or looked at as inferior. We have a couple pockets in our ministry, if I can be really honest with you, where volunteers were actually seen as kind of the low man on the totem pole. Now, how dumb is that, right? Like, it's just lame. So we've been working hard to flip that, to say, you know what, our role, Pastor Rick says, our role is Saddleback staff. We are to be the ad minister. And the 30,000 people who call themselves Saddlebackers, they're to be the ministers. So my role is to create opportunities for ordinary people, just like you and me, to access ministry. And so we really elevated the role of volunteer. We don't let anybody say, oh, I'm just a volunteer on the bowl team. I'm just a volunteer. No. That we take out that word just. No, you're a volunteer. You're a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ who sits behind the camera, who holds a microphone, who has a clear tone line and calls cues or whatever it is, because you are the lifeblood. You are the heartbeat of the church. Anybody can come in and collect a paycheck. You know, it's a dream that I get to give the best hours of my day for and get paid to do this. But man, our volunteers who show up week after week, like you guys, you know, people who serve in your church, man, I wouldn't want to do it without them. You know, so we want to be a team and a culture that really welcomes new team members. You guys tracking that?
Yeah.
But it does require work. It requires having, for us, we use Planning Center pretty robustly. We need to make sure we did Planning Center training. Because some volunteers are like, you know, they can barely get their email on their phone, right? So we're going to walk alongside them and make sure they know how they get rostered and how they accept, how they decline, and all that type of stuff. We have clear on-ramps for auditions for our band, our vocals. I'm so proud of, we have this guy named Nathan. He does this very robust training for all of our tech volunteers in a way that says no matter where you're coming from, you can go from point A to B tonight. In this place, we're going to show you how you can get a spot to serve. And then we call that, we kind of crawl, walk, run steps. You know, some people come to us and they're ready to run. You know, they've been on the road with Katy Perry, or they've been on the road with whomever, and they're ready to run, you know, technically. And we got some people who's like, yeah, I know how to play Angry Birds, you know, so okay, well, we'll figure something out for you. So they need to crawl, right? So we give them crawl, walk, and run steps, and our team has that. So I would just encourage you guys, what are your crawl, walk, and run steps for everything? Just really quick on that, too. Don't hear me say that anyone who auditions or anybody who wants to be in ministry is always put in there. We really believe in discernment, and that it's part of our job to discern if someone's suited to serve in that particular ministry. However, should a vocalist come to us, or should somebody who wants to do camera or whatever come to us, and it's really not their thing, well, guess what? They're now my responsibility. We don't just say, no, good luck, go find something else. We take that responsibility upon ourselves to say, you know what? I don't think this is your spot, but we believe you were made to do something in the kingdom of God, and you're stuck with me until we find what that spot is. And at Saddleback, we have what's called Class 301, which is about discovering your degree or whatever. So we usher them through all of that stuff. But I would just encourage you to take that seriously as well. If someone comes in and you're like, oh, she can't sing, number one, tell her. Tell her. And then help her. Because you know what? If we just say yes to her, we're denying her her real spot of what God really created her to do. And I can think of this one guy auditioned. He had kind of been a mediocre vocalist his whole life. It just wasn't that good. And I felt myself, and maybe we should just say yes to him. He's a heck of a nice guy. His family might make a bit of drama about it if we say no. And I thought, you know what? No. We're not doing him any favors. We're certainly not doing me any favors. So we told him no. Turns out, he's like the world's best junior high Sunday school teacher. You know what? If we would have just said, yeah, come on and sing. We'll put you on. We'll never turn your mic up and all that. He would be missing out, and so would our junior hires. Do you know what I mean? So really just know that, you know, you want to welcome new team members, but you also want to help people identify where they are to serve. Any questions on that one? You guys feeling that one? You're good?
Yeah.
Okay. The next one is, we said we're going to be one team. Remember I told you we had like these 14 campuses, but then within each campus you've got vocal team, band, audio team, lighting team, setup team, video team, and all that. Well, I don't know, it's probably just us. But what we found, and if you're honest, I wonder how many of you this could be true, there can be a pretty big chasm between production and programming, between the stage and the front of house board, that without some shepherding, there could be just a lot of this that goes on. You know, the people on stage think that the people in the back are, their whole lives exist to make them sound and look good. People back here at the soundboard, you know, they're so frustrated with all the divas on stage or whatever, and they never do it the same way twice, and they always want more of themselves in the monitor and all that. Well, we felt like we didn't want to see that continue anymore. Can you guys relate with that? Can anybody else see a little bit? I think based on the setup of our room, just straight up, we got some people up here and some people back here. It's kind of designed to put us at odds with each other. So we said, we're going to be one team. Well, that had a lot of implications for us. And you can read through all of that stuff. But the last one there says, we're going to cultivate an atmosphere of fun and cheer each other on an atmosphere of enthusiasm and fun. Because what we decided is, if we're really going to be one team, the whole point is we need each other, right? And ultimately, I'm not even part of like the Lake Forest team. I'm part of the Saddleback team, which is part of the local church worldwide. So we want to champion the church, Saddleback Church, our own campus or whatever, but really connect one another and let us all own the same thing together. So in that, when we talk about one team, we have really low tolerance for anything that divides any of our teams. So one of the things that we found in our room is kind of large, and it's kind of like worshiping in Costco. It's really bizarre. It's got gym lights, and it's strange. But our soundboard is way back there, and our team's up here, and we never had people on clearcom, on comms, talking back and forth. There was literally shouting going on. And you know, you guys know how that is, right? Any of you shout from stage to the back?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what I found is, Nobody was mad. But anytime you have to shout something three times because they can't hear you, everybody starts to get a little bit annoyed, and now all of a sudden we actually are mad because, you know. And so we did something just as little as saying, you know what, we're going to all use comms. We're going to put a stage manager on stage with a comm who can communicate to the back to try to reduce some of the stress that was happening there. We also felt like, you know, we wanted to pull, the production team kind of felt like they were just brought in at the last minute. Their ideas don't really matter. They're just supposed to make it all happen. And that was like a really sweet learning for us to say, well, we want you guys in on the planning. We want you to hear it from the beginning. Now, honestly, they're not the experts in the room on all the creative that should happen or whatever, but they have great ideas on how to best make it happen. And they would prefer to be a part of that conversation at the earliest stages rather than at the very end when we're just saying, well, you know, why isn't the camera on the guitar player? Because it's on the keyboard. They're like, well, we didn't know the guitar player. Oh, yeah, okay. So we've developed processes to help them really be connected to it. So two really big key processes for us in this were our comms and making sure, and maybe you don't have comms, maybe you don't need comms, but I would say just know your communication strategy. What is your communication strategy so that your production and your programming ministries aren't at odds with one another, they're really connected with one another. The other thing we did for our environment, how many of you are using cameras? A few of you, okay. Well, you're all using sound boards, audio boards, yeah, okay. One of the things we started to do is we created this thing called the song scans, and I think we made that up, I don't know. But basically, I got tired of the camera being on the wrong person. I got tired of the soloist mic not being turned up. I got tired of the lights not being bright on who I needed them to be bright on. But the resounding answer I kept getting back from everyone was, well, we didn't know. No one told us. I'm like, oh, wait, we had to tell you? Well, yeah, we had to tell them. They're not supposed to read our mind that, hey, this song Steph is leading in, the next one Zach is, and then Socrates. They didn't know that. So for every song we do, we create a song scan that says 8-bar intro featuring lead guitar one, Steph leading the first verse, and then all in at the chorus, and then instrumental featuring the keys, or whatever the situation is. What that does is it has all our lyrics there. So our graphics app was really sweet that they're ready. They just copy and paste, and they've got their lyrics. All the production teams know who to feature on lighting, on camera, on audio. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You guys following that? Mm-hmm. That for us was a way to say, we want to give you good information. That's our way of saying we love you enough to actually think of you before Saturday. Does that make sense? So remember, for us, it's going back to, if we're really going to be a team where love is our highest goal, how can I love my camera people? They were like, well, I don't know who to focus on because you didn't tell them. Okay, well, now you know. And they're like, man, I just feel so ready. Our graphics people are like, it used to be so stressful. Now I'm ready to go. And that, for us, is how we say I love you. That make sense, guys? So that's what we talk about when we're one team. And guys, I put some scripture there for you. You can check those out later. The third one is R. We're going to reject negativity. Now, I'm just telling you, maybe it's just us. But I've been in some teams where it's hard sometimes as artists to reject negativity. We think we never hit a flat note, and we think we have the best arranging skills, and we think our audio mix is better than anyone else's, and we're the experts. And sometimes it's easy to whisper to someone next to us our thoughts about someone else. Well, we have no tolerance for that at Saddleback. We just have no tolerance for anything that doesn't lift up our team. Because we're serious about the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And nobody has time for somebody to come in here and just be a bit of poison. And just, you know, when we were in a season of transition, you can imagine people had lots of thoughts about the transition. And we saw the best in people, and we saw the worst in people. The worst in people usually came out in the form of gossip. If we're just really honest about it, you guys, the worst of us comes out in the form of gossip. Why is the new guy doing this? It's so dumb. You should be in the fish. Great. Awesome. You know, or, you know, why is she singing that? I should be singing that. That's my stage. That's right. You know. Well, that's not really helpful, right? And so it might seem really obvious, but if you don't say it, if you don't declare that we will reject negativity, We will not have any tolerance for that type of stuff. And we've dismissed people from many teams for that reason alone. You know, we don't have just things going to get real up in here. We don't have to dismiss people because they're having an affair only. We can dismiss people for gossip. We can say, our team is far more important for you to be coming in here with that attitude every single week. You know, we've done that enough, and now it's time to take a break. Okay? We seem to minimize that particular weakness in our teams. Now, we give people lots of chances, and we talk openly and all that. But, man, am I wrong? Like, what else seen that? Destroy teams?
Yeah.
Am I just take them down way too many notches? Like,
creates politics.
Yeah, politics. And that's not what the church is for. So we actually push it to the opposite direction. We say we're going to reject negativity, but we also want to be a culture that speaks blessing and calls out the gold in one another.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are we going to not say dumb stuff, we're going to call out the gold. And so one of the things, this is really, I give you something practical. I tend to be an encourager. I enjoy exalting and lifting up my team. It's one of my favorite things that I get to do. I get to use my leadership to lift up those around me. And so I enjoy doing that. And I think as a leader, that's so important for all of us. If your team, have you ever been on a team where your boss or your leader just never tells you, attaboy? That totally sucks. Because you never know if you're like good or not. I thought I kind of nailed it, but nobody said anything. I love to high five people and say, you just smashed that. Let's all watch that. Just see what he just did. Let's rewind that and show everybody. You know what I mean? And so one of the things we started doing, we do a prayer circle before our services. We started doing this thing where we call them call outs. We do this thing where we say, hey, I'm calling you out. You just got called out. And then we say, you know what? That guitar solo, I know you practiced between Tuesday night and now, because where it came today, dude, you showed up and that was sick. That was disgusting. Way to go. And then I just kind of open up. Who needs to get called out? And now we're at a place. It started out being me. Being the only one calling anyone out. No one else was like, Now I don't even have to do it. Our volunteers, our staff, or whoever is calling people out. Saying, you know what? You know, a vocalist. You know what, Alex on lighting? You're here all the time. You're here before I'm here. You stay later than anybody, and it always looks amazing here. I love you so much. Thanks for doing what you do. You just got called out. That, for me, is what it's all about. When a vocalist can affirm a lighting guy, when a camera guy knows Socrates and his family and his life, and they're sitting over a meal on a Saturday night. Curtis is here from Vegas, and he's been to our green room once or twice, and I think you saw that. I think you saw that unity amongst our teams. And I think that's really important. So we talk about we're going to be a team that rejects negativity. You guys feeling that?
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, though. If you don't say it, don't assume anyone knows any of this. If you don't say, hey, guys, we may have been unclear for the last 10 years, 5 years, I don't know, but just the same, we don't have any business talking about anybody else. Remember, that's a sin. Okay. And so we actually want to be a team that's going to call one another out in a great way. And even if you think you could have been better than her or him, who cares? Your turn's coming, and you're part of this team, and we love you and all that. So do you guys get that? Enough on that.
Great.
Okay. S. You guys doing okay? Keep moving? S. Share everything. Big thing for here is that communication is vital. And ultimately, for me, I was a worship pastor, like I told you, and worship leader of a church when it was 100 people. So I got to lead that church all the way from 100 people to 2,500 people. Anybody here at a church of 100 or less? Yeah. I love you, man. I'm not kidding. I think what you do is really important. And I think it's hard. Because we wear every hat. Every single hat. And if any of you haven't done that, and think it's just about the sexy lights and audio system and all that, that's nothing. You know, it is in the ministry and the people and the getting your hands dirty, so what do you mean? So when I was a church of 100, I was everything. Picked out the songs. I was the MD. I have no business being an MD. I was the vocal director. I was the lighting guy. And by lighting guy, I mean I flipped the switches. I was the sound guy. We had a soundboard that was like this, and it had knobs like this. Okay, that's how old I am. Poor our church was. By the time I left, though, we were 2,500 people with the full lighting rig and a big audio console and all that type of stuff. And what I remember thinking, though, is what we knew. I hit about 2 years of doing everything. And I remember thinking, this will literally kill me. I would get up, and I'm actually kind of sweaty now, but I would get up to lead worship, and I'm like, so running back and forth, and like just exhausted because it was so exhausting. And I thought, I've got to share this. I've got to take all this and start giving it away to people who, in my mind, couldn't do it as good as I could. Because I have so much pride in me that I can do everything great. But God was like, so what? Give it away, you'll live longer, and you'll be a whole lot happier. Right? And so we just started doing that. So I literally built a lighting team of two high school kids that literally would flip the switch. And we had those little faders next to the switch, you know, the one that you have to use a toothpick to kind of use. And so they would, like, once the service, fade them down or whatever. And they were just like chandeliers. It was really absurd. But you know what? I didn't have to worry about the lighting. And I had two high schoolers who got out of bed every single Sunday morning ready to flip those down switches. And by the time we moved into our new building and we're a couple thousand people, guess who my first lighting guys were? And guess who are still today serving local churches in the area of production and tech? Those two squirrely high school boys who flipped light switches. And when, by the time we got here, I didn't have to worry about lighting. They took it. You guys know what I'm saying? So the whole idea of sharing everything is at Saddleback, I don't want the weekend service to be mine. I want it to be ours. I want this thing to belong to us. I want you to care as much about this as I do. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, and honestly, sometimes I can still get frustrated because I'm like, well, why are you asking me? Why are you asking me that question? You make that decision. This belongs to you as much as it belongs to me. Or be like, hey, dude, if you're an MD, are you happy with the way that I can park some of it? No, not really. Well, fix it. Right? This is yours. This isn't mine. This is, you want to associate that quality? Or, dude, what's up with that guy? He's been grumpy or he's been on his phone constantly. Let's deal with that. You know what I mean? So it's really the whole idea is that this isn't just yours. If the weekend worship service is just yours, that will last 18 months tops. And then you're done. You'll move on somewhere else. You'll die. You'll do something, but you've got to start learning to share everything. Does that make sense? Okay. H. We're going to value a high level of skill in every area. We've talked a whole lot about love, right? Well, one of my favorite things in this transitional period is I had this reputation that John doesn't really care about good musicianship. Right. I just wanted a bunch of crap on our stage. I'm sure I prayed for every single day that it would just be garbage constantly. No. I actually just happen to believe you can go for both. You can go for great ministry hearts and great skill, okay? So we will value a high level of skill in every area. We're not going to mess around with somebody who just wants to, you know, play their guitar like they're in their garage in 1978 or something like that. No, we're going to learn new sounds. We're going to learn new gear. We're going to keep upping all of our skills in every area as a camera operator, as a lighting technician, as a stage manager, which means we're going to train and provide opportunities. And we're also going to say, bro, I love you, but you got to take some lessons before you're able to come back here. You got to learn. We had one of the parts that was hard in the transitional time was we had some guitar players that were kind of stuck in a certain sound. And some of my favorite dudes were guys who said, I get it. Teach me. Show me the new gear. Let me hear the new sounds. The ones that were hard were the ones that said, no, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And this is the end of the road. Okay? So we do value a high level of skill. We do want a new sound and a new song in us, but not just for the sake of that. And this goes back to that whole value of excellence, which I know you guys know. We really do value excellence, but not for the sake of excellence. And if I'm honest with you, I battle it daily. I battle it daily. In my personal life, in my family, in my ministry, I think it's ultimately a reflection of pride and insecurity. Sorry, this just turned into but I really battle because I want everything to be perfect, because if it's perfect and I look perfect, well, no, I don't need to look perfect, right? But I do know my God gave his best, and we're going to give our best. And you know what? Sometimes the best, my best, might not be as good as your best. But my best is all Jesus asked of me and for my team. So what we've seen, and we knew this would have to happen as we were really cultivating that soil, we saw some quality dip. We did. We needed to see some quality dip. I hoped it didn't last forever, but we had to see some quality dip. And then we just saw it soar. We really did just see it soar. We have amazing musicians, great vocalists who are leading so well and with such strength. But it does take, you have to champion both. You can't just say, well, we're all about love. You just come and play. Just come and play. No. Come and play if you're suited to play. And let's all get better along the way. Let's take vocal lessons. We value vocal instruction and vocal lessons. In fact, we're doing team night in a couple weeks. And at team night, we do workshops. And so we bring in people to do a master class on vocals and on guitar and on keys. And these aren't jokers. These are like ballers, people who have business teaching people this type of stuff. Again, it's a way to say we care, we love you enough to provide opportunities for you to strengthen yourself. So, okay. So the high level of skill in every area. Don't you love that verse? I know we hear this a lot, but I think it's really special for our teams. Whatever you do, whatever you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. Man, we call all of our teams to be worship leaders. Okay? We don't have one worship leader on our stage. We have about 100 in the room at any given moment. Okay? Our camera people are called to be worship leaders. Don't you dare slouch at that seat like you just expected to take some pictures. You sit at that camera like you're expecting Jesus to heal marriages in this place. And use your camera shots. Whether it's people watching online or in the room. And don't you dare just show up to play your piano today just like you would at Disneyland or the Viper Room or anywhere else you play. You play like you're ready to do business with the heavenlies in this place.
Amen.
Okay? And so that's what we call our people to. And that's what I think makes us the church. So our neighbors here is Disneyland, right? There has to be a difference between Disneyland and Saddleback Church.
For sure.
I have something that Disney can't give them, right? And I'm supposed to give them more than that. And I think what we battle is in the Southern California culture. It's just expect people to come up and do really great music. No, you can go do that somewhere else. We're going to do really great music and do it with a posture of holiness, a posture of expectation. That'd be different than the way we play at Disneyland. So you guys feeling that?
Yeah.
And that requires skill. That requires skillful musicianship and technicality. Okay. I hear we wrote, implement new processes with joy. Okay, this is super passive aggressive on my part. I'm just going to own it right here. We had a bunch of people that love to say, oh, you've never done it that way. Well, that'll never work. Oh, we just don't do it that way. I said, I don't want to hear that. I can remember literally losing it one day on a guy who was like, fine. He just happened to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. And I got so tired of hearing that. We've never done it that way. We don't do it that way. Well, who wants to keep doing it the same way? I don't. We better not be doing it the same way 6 years from now as we're doing it today. Mm-hmm. I hope to our Lord that things change and evolve and get better and tighter and clearer. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we just, again, we thought, well, if we don't say it, no one's going to expect it. So we said we are going to implement new processes with joy. And what we do today doesn't mean we're going to do it tomorrow. But our culture is one that says not a problem. Our culture is one that says, hey guys, we're going to do this today. And know what the response, if I walk in tomorrow and say, hey guys, we're actually going to add a third service, you need to get here an hour early or whatever, what they would come back to me with is, not a problem, let's do it, let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not, well, we've never done that, and that means I got to get up earlier, and you're going to have to pay me double, and okay, not a problem, man. Let's try it. We trust you, we trust Rick and Kay Warren, we trust this, let's do this. Or if we say, we made a lot of mistakes. We tried a lot of new production processes because we had kind of like zero production processes. So we tried a few things that were dumb. We took them away. And then we tried something the next week. And then we said that didn't work either. But we've kind of landed on stuff that kind of works finally. But it took a season of people saying, not a problem. And I'm just going to call them out real quick. These are two people that were those people that said, we're with you and we'll try. We'll try. We'll show up and we'll try. That's the joy of our life to see them serving in a church plant in Colorado. But that is what as leaders we need to be. I don't totally get it. I'm not sure if you're right, but sure, let's try it. I know you well enough to say maybe it won't last, and if it doesn't, we'll talk about it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about implement new processes with joy. Let me give you one more thing on that. I think this was a moment, again, involving my son. We have two boys, a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old, and our 10-year-old is bananas. I mean, like, he's gone. He's so wild. Our 12-year-old, like, he thinks about everything, and then he's very like his mother. Very processing, and goes and does well. My 10-year-old is more like not his mother. And he just goes and, like, thinks later, okay? And I was in a season where I found myself saying no to Hayden all the time. Daddy, can we then? No. Daddy, how about we then? No, let's not do that. That's not safe. Buddy. Okay, Daddy, can we then? No. And I thought, dude, you're the worst dad ever. You're the dad of no. And I thought, I did not want to be that dad. Because I thought to myself, that's not my God. Mm-hmm. I think my God is the God of the yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who says yes to me far more in my freedom than he says no to me. And I thought, okay, well, I want to figure out how I can always say yes to Hayden.
Mm-hmm.
How can I always say yes to Hayden? And I thought, well, you know, and then after a few weeks of that, I thought, no, that needs to be our team. Nobody wants to hear no. If I come to you and ask you for something, I'm coming hoping you're going to say yes, right? That's the reason I'm asking. And we all kind of hate no, don't we? I hate no. And so we cultivate our team to be a team of yes. I want your first response to be yes, always. When somebody comes up to you and says, hey, the audio noise is way too loud. I can't believe you guys sit here. Will you turn that down? Oh, yeah, we can turn that down. But let me talk to John first, because we've got to figure out, you know, exactly what we're doing. Okay, well, what that did is that just diffused. No, we're not going to turn it down, because it's fine, exactly how we like it. And then we've got this going on. Oh, yeah, you're totally right. It's kind of loud tonight, isn't it? We can turn it down, but first let me talk to my supervisor or whoever. Or like, hey, guys, I want to try this new song. It's kind of weird. It's kind of out there for us, but can we just try it? Yeah, let's try it. Or in a culture where you're trying to create creativity and safety around that, when someone presents a new song that they've written or a new guitar sound they want us to try for you, man, that first response might be, yes, that is great, like when you're in the garage. Or, you know, how can we say yes more than we say no? It's not about being not truthful, but we do want to cultivate a solution-oriented team. I want to hear in the brainstorming mode, or when Rick Warren, our pastor, will come in with the crazy ideas, and that's, we love it. But I'm not going to go to Rick and be like, no, Rick, I don't think we can do that. Here's the 300 reasons why that's a bad idea. No, my initial reaction is, okay, how can we make this happen? What do we need to do? Who do we need to get in here? What do we need to shuffle? How can we make this happen? That's what the type of team I want to build to, is a team that's instantly going into solutions. And of course, there's always open dialogue for the concerns, of course. Kind of a no-brainer when the culture of love is in place. You guys following that? Okay. I hope there's some value in all of this. We do want to say kind of that not a problem and my pleasure. That we want those to be our mantras. Not like, yeah, we've had people say weird things to us, right? We want to build a team that says, hey, man, I can't believe I get to do this, let alone be here as much as I am. It's my pleasure, man. I'll try it. The last one, and this one's super important for, I think, whatever your team is that we're going to be a team that prays continuously. That this will never be on our own strength. Because our team can only go so far. But with Jesus on our side, it's limitless. I don't believe Saddleback Church got to be Saddleback Church with just a bunch of humans relying on themselves. They set impossible dreams, impossible goals, and said, you know what? We're actually going to believe the scriptures. And it says, with God, all things are possible. We were a church that was 12,000 people with no building. So when you come to me and say, you know, our team's really small, but when we get our new building, we're going to do it. No, don't wait for that new building. Or it's like, you know what, when we have that amazing guitar player, then our worship. No. Whoever you got now is who God has for you, and you steward that with all diligence. And we say, our only motivation will be the love of Jesus Christ. A paycheck will not be our motivation, because that will last only for a time. But that won't be the thing that that gets people out of debt, that won't be the thing that allows people to continue a lifetime of service. Our motivation is the love of Jesus Christ, and that goes nowhere. The Bible says, and just believe it, it says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So I started out by telling you guys, you know, you're my kind of crazy, kind of insane people. I guess I would switch it, and I would tell you, you're just not. You're not crazy. You're not crazy for getting up too early on Sunday morning. You're not crazy for staying up all night working out the smallest, tiniest detail on an arrangement or on a pro presenter lyrics and all that type of stuff. Because I think, like me, you believe that there's nothing like the church on planet Earth. And for me, I would much rather wear a few scars from some hard ministry years than for Target or for Apple Computers or for Walmart or for any other corporation. I would rather stay up late and get up early for the local church. Because I know that goes into eternity. Right? My iPhone, likely, kind of hoping it might go into eternity, but it's likely not going into eternity. But the church will. Right? And so I would just say to you guys, as you serve, I hope some of this stuff is helpful. Whatever you take with you, I hope something about your team gets a bit stronger and a bit more meaningful and a bit more driven by some sort of purpose and direction. Because this, we ain't playing here, right? We all know that, right? Like, people die without this. And we don't want that. And so we're going to build healthy teams so more and more people are attracted to the name of Jesus Christ. Not to me, not to my team, not to my pastor, but to the name of Jesus Christ. You guys with me?
Amen.
I sure love you guys, and I think we have just a few minutes. Do you guys want to do some questions? And then, yeah, okay, great.
Can you talk about multi-site and how, you know, building teams and establishing the same creative concept?
Yeah, so my challenge with the multi-site thing is there's such a wide continuum on the multi-site. So let me just talk about that for a second. We have good friends at some churches where they literally do the same songs on a click track at multiple campuses at the exact same moment. Okay, through technology you can do that, which is really, really great. And then we have some other friends at some multi-site churches. It's kind of free-for-all. Do whatever you want. Preachers preach on whatever he wants. It's just all under the same name, and we support them. And then there's kind of everything in between that continuum, right? I've always said I kind of like to find what's the middle ground there. So for us, our pastor is on video at every campus. So we do now. And for a while, we kind of bent a little more this direction towards kind of whatever. We're bending a little more towards the middle. We do what's called a core song every weekend, and that core song is one song that's done at every campus. Okay? And that comes from me. And that took some time to get there, because sometimes as worship leaders, we kind of take that posture of, ain't nobody going to tell me what's today. Lord told me, and he didn't tell you. And it's like, no, actually, the Lord told us all, and we're good. And so we have one core song. And what's been cool about that is it's just this little nugget of, like, connection.
Yeah.
It's like, and we all sing in that today. And it gives us a way, like, when we're writing new stuff, for it to kind of go out everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I also think it's good for us as worship leaders to sometimes do the things that maybe we wouldn't do. And then all of a sudden we're like, yeah, it actually worked. We would have never chosen that. Or one of the things I love is, hey, here's the song, and we're doing it this way at this campus, they're doing it there, but they're doing it completely different over here at LA. I'm like, that's cool. We should all be listening to their version of that song. Let's all take on that version next time. Do you know what I mean? And so there's learning in that surrender and submission, because I think it's really important. You have to know, for us, we're Saddleback Church, one church, many locations, right? You signed up for one church, many locations. You didn't sign up for one church. You signed up for one church, many locations. That means we got to learn how to submit and surrender to one another, okay? That's a difference. I was part of Manchester, my church in New Hampshire. We were just one church. Nobody telling us nothing. We were doing it, right? So it's a bit different. It affects your posture more than anything, I think. And so for our guys and gals that actually are every campus now, coming with hands up saying, yeah, let's do it. Or, you know what, that course song actually, I hope we don't have to do that one again because it didn't work here. That's so helpful. That's helpful feedback. And that's what I love. I'm like, dude, thank you. thank you for doing that for three services and helping us understand what was great about it and what wasn't great about it. You know what I mean? So, I don't know if that helps. Planning Center is a huge key for us. I think there's other tools. We use Planning Center. It's a way for us to have everyone have access to everything. So if I were to show you our Planning Center, it's bonkers because it's 14 campuses, each campus has multiple things, all that. But we can all see everybody's anything. So I can have eyes on everyone's set list, roster, and all that. And I can see if any given camp, like, dude, why are all your songs copyright 1983? Or why are all your songs brand new originals 2015? You know, you gotta help your people sink their teeth into something too. So it's like, and then also the other things are that the assets and the resources belong to everyone. So if something's up on Planning Center, anyone in any campus can grab it, use it, all of that type of stuff. So I don't know if that's helpful, but those are some things that we do, sure.
Speaking of Planning Center, how detailed is your Planning Center set up when it comes to communication with your production team?
Yeah, we're very robust. We've tried a handful of things, you know, whether it was like emailing some things and creating Word documents and all that, but we've just decided let's have a one-stop shop. And right now it's Planning Center. Again, we hold loosely to everything. Something bigger, bad, or better comes along, we'll try that or whatever. But right now, I mean, we're like 2,000 people using Planning Center every single week. And so it's really robust. And it's our one stop. So in Planning Center, we do put cues and lyrics, and we attach the song scans to every song, like I was talking about. We attach MP3s, vocal isolations, all the rhythm charts, all the everything to every song.
Comments,
we use the comments sheet for some critical cues. It's also a real-time thing for us. Our pastor is really winsome, and so he might make a last-minute call and say, hey, I'm going to come up after that next song, or he might just come up and we'll have to make sure everybody knows on comm and, you know, stuff like that. So you have to know your pastor, know your environment, and know what tools serve you guys for that.
Good
question. Yeah.
Do you musicians jump from campus to campus since you're all the
I would say, and I don't know the percentage, but it kind of feels like 80% all at one campus. Like,
yeah.
I'm maybe 90% at one campus, but yeah, I'll go play over here if they need me or over here.
That
but usually,
the drummer called and said, around.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I would say it's more like that than it is. There's a few that kind of shuffle around. Yeah. But let me ask for a little
bit. I'm wondering if you have any tips. We just launched our first multi-site with any campus, and we're using video preaching as well.
Yeah.
And so we're new to the whole, like, trying to get on the camera shots and how that all works. We're only using two cameras right now.
Yeah, sure.
Do you have any just tips and tricks, suggestions?
Are you doing just the message, or are you doing everything?
So it's live worship.
Yeah.
And then just the message on the camera.
That's how we do it as well. So just in terms of actually capturing the message,
Production-wise, for the non-live site, in terms of, like, transitions on stage?
Well, I think the bottom line is, it's a video campus, so don't act like it's not. So you can call it out. You know, I was in the early days. You teach through it. You know, you guys might not know, we're part of Saddleback Church, and our pastor's going to speak to us on video, and it was taped last night, or it was taped this morning at our campus in Lake Forest. It's a great message. I can't wait for you to hear it. Or, you know, just own what's happening in the room. I think where we get in trouble is when we act like he's not. Everyone else
in the room knows
he's
alive.
So just call it out. Call it out. And then I would say just one of the things that we found is the people at that campus, they really just want to see the teacher. They don't need to see live shots of the room because they're not in that room. In fact, the longer they watch just his face, they kind of forget they're not there.
Yeah.
So we kind of do a lockdown shot of him, like his face, and then maybe like from here up. But we try not to show, like, it's really much a challenge for us. We try not to get a lot of drums behind him and guitars. So it's really a clean shot, and that was a nightmare for us because we have to split our band and all of this stuff. But it's for the cost of our, to help our regionals feel a bit more connected to the bigger story. Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great. Where's your church again?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, great. What church?
Christ Community Church.
Okay. Very cool. I think we're through. 3:30, so we should. Is it done at 3:30? I think.
Yeah.
Why don't we just be done, and maybe Stephanie and myself and Socrates, we're free to hang with you guys. And I'd love to just pray over you, because I'm serious when I tell you guys. I think what you do is so important, and I'm counting on you. I'm counting on you to do your thing, and I would love for you to count on me to do mine. We're going to hold it down here in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to do it in Oregon, in Phoenix, Marietta, everywhere else, because we're only as healthy as you guys, right? We want a strong local church. So let me pray over you. God, I know that the people in this room sure pay a lot week after week in the form of time and resources and talent that they give back. And I pray in this place today, they would be reminded that what they do is so important. You've called them to great things. You've called them and you've graced them to do exactly what they're called to do. And so, Lord Jesus, when their head hits the pillow tonight, would they sense an overwhelming sense of your pleasure over their lives? And Lord, allow your fire to just burn away anything that doesn't need to be there and just laser focus in on where it is they need to go as a team. Give them a vision, maybe something from that sheet of paper that's just leaping off the page to them. Allow them to implement that one thing. That the church would be stronger because of Exponential. Not that we would just feel good or felt like we had a great couple days, but that your bride would be stronger because of here. Love you so much, Jesus. It's for your fame, for your glory. In your name we pray.
Amen.